Welcome to the third day of our Panch Anga Bhakti program. Today we'll be hearing about Srila Prabhupada quite a bit and trying to improve our association with Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada arrived in America on the date of September 17th, 1965. What were you all doing on that day, if you were born? Can anybody tell me what you were doing on September 17th, 1965?
Going to school.
Going to school. Which school?
Primary school.
Oh, primary school. Okay. You were?
Bondi Beach Primary.
I was just graduated. That was in high school. Yes, okay. What were you doing? Primary. Everybody was in primary school when Prabhupada arrived in America. Yeah, I was in, I was just in second last year of high school. I was in 11th grade when Prabhupada arrived. So it took me 5 years to meet you, to meet Prabhupada and meet the devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, on that day, he was aboard the Jaladuta, which had just touched land in Boston. And although he's an old man who suffered 2 heart attacks on the journey, he carried with him only the holy name, a few trunks of Bhagavatam, 2 sets of cloth, and a tiny bag of chira, and small change, 40 rupees. But his heart is overwhelmed with the mission of his spiritual master. So he was on the boat, he was looking at Boston's bleak skyline, and he's overwhelmed with both humility and compassion. In this mood, he composes his Markine Bhagavad Dharma. So I'll hand out some of the songs. This will be sung by one of our Prabhupada disciple devotees of ancient times. And you can share these copies, and you can perhaps follow along with the song. You can pass them out. And then afterwards, we'll discuss a bit about Srila Prabhupada, analyze these prayers. Yeah. And this also can be passed. Pass them up front. Only one for 2 people. Don't you have to share? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you have to share. Yeah, all of them. All of them.
One for every 2 people.
Yeah, pass. These are extra. Okay.
Extra.
This one? Okay.
Pass them back. Pass them back.
Does anybody need the song? We have some extra copies of the song here. Does anybody need the song? Actually, there's probably enough of the song to go. Anybody need the song? I think there's lots of copies.
Yeah, lots of copies.
The song is extra name. Okay. So now we will start the program. You can follow along. Oh, my mouse has disappeared. Where's my mouse? Yeah, I do. Where did my mouse go? Maybe this thing is doing something. So this, what happened? My mouse is stuck. That is also stuck. You have to sit down. Okay. It's the mouse. Both of them are stuck. Okay. We don't want to. Okay. Let's play then. Let's play.
Happy Mangal Day, Krishna.
You can turn that off and bring the microphone up. Okay, so should I sit there then? Okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to need it, yeah. Okay, so somehow, yeah, see here. You can just turn off this. This doesn't work, yeah. So how do you not like that? Okay. All right. So then we have to fix it for the next one. Okay. All right. Hare Krishna, now this one off again. Hare Krishna. So you have these copies here of these small pieces of paper. These are sections or selections of the different verses that we just heard of Srila Prabhupada. And on the back there is a little commentary of these verses. This is by Giriraj Swami. So the first is a prayer of faith. Rajastamo guneyara shabayachana vasudev kataruji nahi she prasana. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of passion, ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. Tabe jari taba kriba hoituki, shakali shamba hoitu nishe kutuki. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So in the back, this was actually spoken by His Holiness Giriraj Swami, these commentaries. So I'll just read a little bit of it. The first two paragraphs are about bhoga and tyaga, how we make plans, and then they're not fulfilled, we become disappointed and fall into ignorance, depression, apathy, bewilderment, and madness. So Srila Prabhupada, in this situation, he went to the West, and he was wondering, how will I be able to tell them of Krishna? How will I be able to tell them of Sri Vrindavan Dham and devotional service? And he was thinking also that how will they eat this vegetarian food as well? Is this Kermit here? Yeah, well, so here we have the amazing product of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Not only were we eating vegetarian food, but we were cooking it and spreading it all over the world. And so this is we are all products of Srila Prabhupada's mercy here. And here he comments, not only is it very difficult, it's almost impossible, and it is a miracle that Srila Prabhupada accomplished what he did. The Prabhupada was able to come to this foreign land and instill this Shraddha, this faith, within the hearts of the Westerners. It is a great miracle. And so this is so amazing that we did not know anything of Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada did not know us. He didn't know who we were or anything, but he just came for us. He came to save us. And so this is a miracle. And this is faith. So we can get inspiration from Srila Prabhupada and get faith for our preaching as well. So then the second page, a prayer for empowerment. Do any of you feel the need to pray for empowerment sometimes in your service? Maybe every second of every day? We feel that
we lack, and we don't have the qualities, but somehow or other we're in the position of devotees, and we're in the position of spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So this is how Srila Prabhupada prayed for empowerment. Ki kare bujhabo kata bora se chai kutra me dinahina kona shakti nahi. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Atocha inicha prabha kota bolivare jeto maricha prabha koro e bare. Somehow or other, Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. So in the back, Maharaj brings up a very interesting point. It is interesting how Srila Prabhupada sees his coming to America as Krishna bringing him, although he himself was making so much endeavor to fulfill the mission of the spiritual master and come to the West, such as cultivating Sumati Maharaji, to get her to sponsor his journey. He had to convince her. It wasn't easy. She was reluctant because of Srila Prabhupada's elderly age and the fact he didn't have any friends or relatives in America. But Srila Prabhupada said when he got off the bus, he didn't know which way to turn, left or right. He got off the bus in Butler. So he had to convince her. But
still, I'm the Karnis. What Karnis? Karnis means.
Okay. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada is. So he had to convince her, but still he's saying to Krishna that you brought me here. So Prabhupada is seeing it was actually Krishna who made the arrangements and who brought him here to the United States. So this is how the devotee sees any experience he has in life. He sees it as Krishna's mercy. But sometimes we think it is all our endeavor, but actually it's not all our endeavor, it's our endeavor plus Krishna's mercy. We endeavor as much as we can, but then we depend on Krishna. And we depend on Srila Prabhupada for empowerment. This temple is so wonderful that you have this room of Srila Prabhupada upstairs, that you can go there anytime and you can be in the same place that Srila Prabhupada was. And you can feel his presence even now very strongly. So then the next one, a prayer of dependence. Akila jagat guru bacham che amar alam kritya koribar kamata tomar. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Tava kripa le mar kalta shubhavve shriya shabar shok dukha jay kuchibe. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates the hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. So this is a very interesting prayer, that he feels that his words have no power unless Krishna gives him the power to speak. And then, so he's praying not only for his power to speak, he's praying for his audience, so they'll be able to understand. So before you speak Krishna Katha, you can pray for the audience as well. So this is a very interesting point, that when he's praying for, when he's depending on Krishna, he's depending on Krishna not only to empower him, but also to empower the audience, so they'll be able to hear. And so sometimes when I go to japa retreats or something, or if I'm facilitating, I pray for the people who come so that they'll make advancement in their japa. So this is a wonderful thing that we learned from Srila Prabhupada. So in the back, he says that faith means faith in the words of the scriptures and the words of the spiritual master that glorify and explain the process of bhakti. Therefore, Prabhupada, in utter humility, prayed that Krishna make his words suitable. He also prayed Krishna enlighten us or inspire us with appreciation for his message. So Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of utter surrender, really saw Krishna was doing everything. Krishna was inspiring him to speak, and Krishna was inspiring us to appreciate what he said. So we were in such a state that how could we understand? I know I got my first book, as I said yesterday, my first book I got was entitled Who is Crazy? So I couldn't understand it really at all. But then after chanting and associating with devotees, I got the power to understand these books. Not only understand them, I'm teaching the books, so it's quite a long step, long ways that we've come. So then the last prayer is a prayer of surrender. Aniyacha jadi prabhu amare nachate, anachya nachya prabhu nachya shemate, kashya putani jata nachya shemate. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. Bhakti nai vednai name kultoro, bhakti viranta name vishartakoro. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. So a nice commentary in the back. The principle here is that Srila Prabhupada is seeing this arrangement as Krishna's arrangement, and actually we also have to try to develop that vision, to see Krishna's plan in everything, to see Krishna's arrangement in everything, that we have surrendered to him, and so he's taking care of us. How many of you have that experience that Krishna is taking care of you in your life? Yes? Very good. Even if you're not living in the temple, still he's taking care of you. And he's taking care of all your needs, and especially your spiritual needs. Sometimes we may experience setbacks or disappointments, but actually Krishna has some reason for giving them to us. We should try to understand that, and if we do, we'll never be disappointed in life. Prabhupada's complete surrender is amazing. I am your instrument. You can use me. You can engage me as you wish. I have no agenda of my own, no personal agenda. My agenda is whatever you desire. I am here to accept your desire as my life and soul, to give everything to please you, to serve you. So this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. So anytime you want to pray for faith, for empowerment, for dependence, or surrender, you can remember these prayers of Srila Prabhupada. So one verse of Shikshastra that especially reminds me of Srila Prabhupada, that's Trinadapi Surijena Tarari Vasahishnana. Because these prayers of Srila Prabhupada express such an attitude of humility that I also was remembering this verse of Shikshastra. And there was one story of Srila Prabhupada before he came to the West, before he took sannyas. He was working in the drugstore. What do you call it here? I don't know. Drugstore, chemist shop, pharmacy. Okay, in India is the chemist shop. Here is the pharmacy. Okay. Yeah, used to. It's also called chemist here, chemist shop, because in India they take after England, and I guess you
we
also.
We do too. Now we've gone American.
Now you've gone American. I don't know what they call it in America. I haven't been there for so long. Drugstore. No, drug has not a good connotation anymore. So perhaps they changed it. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was working in his pharmacy, Dr. Kapoor came into his pharmacy, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Can you please give me a tonic for my health?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, here's a very nice tonic. You take this tonic." So then Dr. Kapoor said, "Well, why don't you give me the tonic that you're taking?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, what tonic is that?" And he said, "You know, the tonic of Krishna Prema. Can you give me that tonic, please?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, I don't have the tonic, but I know the formula for it." And the formula is, Trinadapi sunichena tarari vasahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniyasarani. Humility. So by Prabhupada's life was a life of humility. If we study his life, we can get a glimpse of what it means to be humble. How he was the leader of... I mean, I had one experience personally with Srila Prabhupada in his humility. At least I thought it was an experience. I was on a... he was on a morning walk in Juhu Beach, and I was running to catch up with him because I was late. And so I was running. Finally, I got there out of breath and offered obeisance, and he stopped everything and he just looked at me and he just said, Hare Krishna or something. I can't remember because I was so nervous, but he said something to me. And I was amazed because here's the guru of the whole world, and I'm just, who am I? I'm just a nobody, you know, some woman among a few hundreds or thousands. But he stopped to acknowledge my presence. He always had the time for everyone. I found that he never was too busy.
for anyone. And he always had, even doesn't matter who you were, he would acknowledge you, and you felt a very personal relationship with him. Grammar Prabhu, do you have anything like that in your life story, Krishna Prabhu? Okay, you can think about it. We still got time. It's a long class. Not a long class. And so Srila Prabhupada, when he was living in Vrindavan before he went to the West, there was one Babaji who lived next door to him, Hridananda Maharaj. And he said he used to hear Srila Prabhupada, he didn't know it was Srila Prabhupada, he heard a voice crying at midnight, in the middle of the night. So one time he went up on the roof of his building to see, and he saw it was Srila Prabhupada, and he was sweeping the samadhi of Sri Rupa Goswami at 1 or 2 in the morning. And he was crying, "Hey Rupa, hey Sanatana, hey Gurudev, please give me your mercy. Without your mercy, I cannot do anything. Give me your mercy. Give me the strength I may fulfill your orders." So he said, then I realized it was he who almost every night was out there in the middle of the night sweeping the samadhi of Rupa Goswami and begging for mercy. Another example of Srila Prabhupada's humility and his great concern for the Dham Posses was when this Maharaj, he was cleaning Prabhupada's room and he was sweeping some cobwebs hanging from the ceiling. Then he saw some spiders crawling down after he knocked all the cobwebs off. And Prabhupada came inside and he looked on the floor, he looked up, he looked on the floor, he saw the spiders. And he said, "Why have you disturbed them?" He said, "We should never cause disturbance to residents like these of the Holy Dham. We ourselves are actually newcomers, but they have been residing here for countless generations and must be respected." So have you ever felt humbler than a spider? This is humility, that to think, what is a spider thinking or feeling? What is the ant feeling? And Prabhupada had this consciousness of even the bugs. Sometimes his servant would see, there was a worm on the floor. Shuta Kirti.
No, he's called the worm.
Oh, the worm. Yeah, so Prabhupada said, "You see that worm?" And he said, "Yes, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "I think that worm is sick. Can you please put him on a maha flower and take care of him?" And so that was Prabhupada's consciousness. In Hyderabad in India, when he came with his sannyasi disciples to preach in Hyderabad, he was greeted by some Indian people, and when they saw Prabhupada and his disciples, they asked them, "Who's in charge here? Which one of you is the leader?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "As you like." And then they said, "Oh, sorry, Guruji. We thought they were the leader because they have the big sticks." And so then the sannyasi said, "No, he gave us the sticks." So that was Prabhupada. He never thought that he was a very big person. And he was the biggest. I mean, he was the leader of thousands all over the world. But he never had that consciousness that he was the first. And then there was one more, as many stories, one more story about Prithu, who was sitting in San Francisco on Hippie Hill, and very soon we'll see a video of Hippie Hill, 1967, Srila Prabhupada there. So Prithu was sitting on a bench and chanting his japa, and when an old black man came by, and he said to me, "That old man who started this thing, he was a cool cat. I was living in the Bowery, and he was living in the Bowery too." But then again, Jesus was born in a barn. So he thought, Prabhupada was so, he appreciated the drunkards, we know from Prabhupada Lilamrita. They used to usher him in sometimes into the door, and so he appreciated them. I mean, we wouldn't pay, 2 cents, we wouldn't pay any attention to these kind of people, but Prabhupada, he gave respect to everyone. So to have, he was really an Uttamadhikari, and we could see that. And before he went to the West, he was having meetings in a group with different Vrijabhasis every few weeks to discuss philosophy and Sanskrit. So one time he knew they didn't approve of him going to the West, the sannyasi's not supposed to go across the ocean. So he knew they wouldn't give their blessings to him to preach. So what he did was he brought his first canto of Bhagavatam, 3 books, And he passed the books around and said, please give your blessings to these books. They are going to the West. So they passed the books around. They gave their blessings. And then after they all gave the blessings to the books, he said, now you have to give me the blessings because I'm taking the books to the West. So they all gave their blessings to Prabhupada also. And so we have to get the blessings. This was a lesson that Prabhupada taught us. It's a lesson that Maharaj Pariksit also taught us when he was sitting, ready, fasting to death. All the sages came there. And he knew exactly what to do. He said, I've decided to sit here and fast and hear the glories of Krishna. But still he asked the sages, well, what shall I do? What is my duty now at this point of death? So even though he was the king of the world, he was a Mahabhagavat devotee, an Uttamadikari, a first-class devotee, still he got the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So this is a lesson we can learn from Srila Prabhupada, that whatever we're doing, whatever service we're doing, we should always have the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Don't think that we can do anything on our own. Even we may have the blessings of our Guru Maharaj, still, we need to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas before we make a decision or do any service for Srila Prabhupada. So why did he sacrifice so much? Srila Prabhupada, he was so old. I mean, I can understand being over 60, what it means. The Prabhupada was over 70 when he went. It's your body, is every day you wake up with a pain in a different place. And it just shifts. It's not you never get rid of the pain. You don't get rid of the problems because your body is naturally deteriorating. So I can't even imagine what it's like to be 70. But Prabhupada never cared for himself. So one time, Bhakti Tirthamaraj asked a question. Now this is to the people in his class, so I'm going to ask you the same three questions. The first question is that how many of you have suffered in this world, in your life, and thought, why me? Why not someone else? Anybody ever think like that? Yeah. That's, okay, now how many of you ever watched somebody suffering and thought, well, I'm glad it's not me? That's another next stage. And then the third question is, how many of you ever suffered in this world and thought, why them? Why not me? If you're a mother, you do sometimes think like that. If you see your child suffering. But other than that, I think it's very rare in this world. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada had this mood. So I'll just read one last quote from Prabhupada's purport, showing his humility. So this is Bhagavatam 4.12.33. Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful. The Krishna conscious movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think, even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him back to Vaikuntha Loka. So we need a recommendation to go back to Godhead, and we have to know someone up there, and that someone is Srila Prabhupada. So I'll just tell one experience from my life with Srila Prabhupada. One thing I learned from Srila Prabhupada is that the words of a pure devotee can never prove false. The words of a pure devotee can never prove false. So two things he said to me in my life that came true. And when he said it, I was completely bewildered at the time. One was in Vrindavan, one was in Mayapur. And in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, in the darshan, I was there in 1972 in Nectar of Devotion lectures. We were sitting in the courtyard of Srila Goswami in the same dust as I think 500 years ago. It was at that time it didn't look like a temple. It looked like it was something that was bombed out. It was just rubble everywhere. The front was crumbling around the Damodar temple. And we were sitting, it was all like broken stones everywhere, and you didn't feel like you were really in a temple, but the atmosphere was very spiritual. So that, especially in the courtyard. So we were sitting there, and then after hearing the class, we would go for darshan in Prabhupada's room. So one darshan, just out of the blue, he said to me, "Oh, my sister tells me you speak Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely." And such an indirect comment. But later, 30 years later, I started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And I thought, wow, Prabhupada, he just said it indirectly. He said, "My sister says..." And then he just said, "You speak Srimad Bhagavatam." And then it happened. And I thought, wow. And that at the time when he said that, I had never spoken Srimad Bhagavatam, but to speak of nicely. So I didn't know what he was talking about. But then I remembered on Janmashtami, I was in Calcutta temple. I was the pujari in Calcutta. So the ritual or the process on Janmashtami was we had to read Krishna book from morning till night. And each of us, there were only about 10 of us in the temple, so we had to read 2 hours each. And so I was reading Krishna book, and it was Rasleela, and I was being very dramatic. And his sister was sitting in front of me listening. Now, she's Bengali, she doesn't know a word of English. And she's listening and sitting there, and as soon as I started talking about how Krishna left the gopis, and she started crying and crying and crying. I don't know how she understood what I was saying at all. And then she told Prabhupada, "Oh, she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely." That was my first Bhagavatam lecture. That was in Calcutta in 1972. But then, because Prabhupada said it had happened, and another thing happened like that in Mayapur. But anyway, if we have time at the end of the class, I'll tell that story too. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Karma Prabhu, about Srila Prabhupada?
No, I'm just happy listening.
Okay. I read your book.
I didn't have a lot of such.
Oh, yeah. In India, we did get that somehow or other. I mean, by default. Because I was in Calcutta, and he would go to Mayapur, and then he would come back, and both ways he would go through Calcutta. So I was the pujari in Calcutta. And that time in India, all the pujaris were women, much to contrary what we hear nowadays. Except one exception was Mayapur Janani Bas. He was the only exception. Every Delhi, Calcutta, Bombay, Hyderabad was all women pujaris. In fact, when they attacked the temple in Bombay, it was Maithili who was dragged off to jail by her hair, trying to protect the deities. It was one of my god sisters. So, yeah, I was the pujari in Calcutta. And, okay, I'll tell the story later. I think we should go on. There is in Vriha Bhagavatamrita, there's a very wonderful saying that in all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons. Even if one receives no teachings, spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness. Death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. So this is by association with pure devotees. So now I'm going to give you something to do. Confidential heart tester. In your relationship with Srila Prabhupada, we all have a relationship, and there's enough for everybody to get one of these. Because you can't share this. This is something you do yourself. Everybody can have their own copy. And whatever progress we make in spiritual life, it depends on our relationship with him. In Vrindavan, I see there's so many groups. There's so many different, even Gaudiya Mathas, and so many of them have Western disciples. But if Prabhupada hadn't gone to the West, even those groups wouldn't be existing. None of those groups, including our group, nobody would be there if it hadn't been for Srila Prabhupada, because nobody else agreed to go with him. And he was trying to get everybody to go with him. And they all would say, "No, I have to serve my Guru Maharaj. I have to live in this temple. I cannot go to the West. Those people are too fallen for me." So many reasons why nobody would come with him to preach. So Prabhupada was the one who missed his life. Now, does everybody have a copy? Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. Okay, where are the copies? Somebody needs to. Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. Over here, on the lady's side, there are enough copies. Here's some more. Everybody, raise your hand if you don't have a copy. There's more copies. Okay. Are there any more? Oh, I guess there's more than 60 people. There are 60 copies. All right. Anyway, if you don't have a copy, then you can share and just read the questions and write on your own paper.
If you have a pen, do you have a pen and paper? Someone who has to share. Okay. Here's one extra. Okay. Okay. So yeah, everybody has.
No, we need a pen.
Oh yeah, a pen. That's my. Okay. Well, you have to do it mentally if you don't have a pen. So just answer the questions, and then we won't share the first part. The second part we may share something on part B, if you like. This is just to see the state of your relationship with Sri Prabhupada. Okay, do you need more time? Everybody's finished? No, okay, I'll give you a few more minutes. Okay, now I want you to count how many yeses you have out of the 18. We won't ask you your personal answers at all, but just how many you have. So how many of you got from 14 to 18 yeses?
Oh, wow.
we've got a saint in our midst here.
This is my godbrother.
Swayambhu, wow. Hare Krishna. I thought you were Ramanujan. I was just in Christchurch. Okay, how many got between 8 and 13? Okay, so we have room for improvement here in our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We think this is actually based on
Yeah, a lot of it is based on the Gavrasthikam, not Gavrasthikam, the Guru Puja prayer. So, again, on the back we have section B. Would anybody like to share number two? Briefly explain how Srila Prabhupada and His mercy are manifesting in your life. Would anybody like to share that? Yes?
Normally I get to hear Srila Prabhupada each day through his recordings.
Uh-huh. You hear him every day through his recordings?
Normally. So gradually, through understanding him, what he's speaking about, his mercy manifests.
Through understanding more what he's talking about, his mercy is manifesting. Okay, through hearing his tapes. Okay, good. Any other... anybody else would like to share how Prabhupada is manifesting his mercy in your life? Yes? What's that? Okay. Okay, if you hadn't started ISKCON in the preaching movement, you wouldn't be where you were, where you are. Yes. So that's something.
Anybody else that I'm not seeing?
Yes?
Especially during the 12-hour kirtan.
The 12-hour kirtan?
When I saw that there were people from so many countries and so many backgrounds, and everyone was, despite their different backgrounds. And
so many countries and so many backgrounds in the 12-hour kirtan, but everybody was dancing together.
That time I felt that it's only because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He has really created a house where everyone is living.
So Prabhupada has really created a house that everyone can live in. And Srila Prabhupada often said, this is the real United Nations. You can see that. You can see how all the nations are united here in this country. All of the nations. And when I was in a retreat in, was it Japa retreat or Govardhan retreat? One of those retreats in India, one year, we had... we had some Israelis and we had some Iranians working together. People from Israel and people from Iran were working together, right, personally together to do the decoration. And so I thought it was quite amazing. I mean, I thought it was an amazing thing that was happening there. Here we've got Israel and Iran working together. But you won't see it anywhere else, you know. They'll be at each other's teeth, or each other's neck or throat. But here, they were working together. And one of them was expressing, I think it was Israeli, I'd like to meet the person from Iran. You know, we have a whole different idea of these people, you know. So it's like, it's really happening that there is world peace. And I think here in the Parliament of World Religions, and Yudhuna Maharaj was making friends with Muslims and... there was one Arab from Syria or something, I don't remember. I read his diary.
Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Really nice person.
He was a vegetarian?
Vegetarian?
He was a Sufi.
Oh, a Sufi, yes. The ones in Iran are Sufis as well. Most of them have become devotees. They're like the Brahmins, I think, of the Muslims. Yes. So there is hope. And there is hope. And it was all due to Srila Prabhupada. How he could bring this one person who went to America with nothing, bring all the countries together. And he did say that it will go down in the history of this world, that this movement will save the world. And it does look like the world needs saving at this point. There's a lot of things going on in the world. Okay, so now I would like to, all of us can say thank you to Srila Prabhupada. Somebody can go and write on the board. And we can all just express what we'd like to thank Srila Prabhupada for. Gratitude, according to Sachinanda Swami. Yeah, it's up there. Pen is up there. Gratitude is the first stepping stone to the goal of prema. And this is according to, in one of the retreats with Sachinanda Swami. The pens are right there. Yeah. The way to prema begins with gratitude. It prepares the heart for love. A soft heart will attract the soft queen of bhakti, Radharani. You got the pen? Okay. So start the day with gratitude. He said negative attracts negative and positive attracts positive. Make a list of gratitude every day that you can chant, that you're alive, that you can pray and do and glorify Krishna. Okay, so who would like to say thank you to Srila Prabhupada? What would you like to say thank you for? I think we can start with ISKCON. She's thanking you, Prabhupada, for ISKCON. You can write down ISKCON. What else can we thank Srila Prabhupada for? Maha Mantra. Books. Prasadam. Where would we be without Prasadam? How many of us joined it because of, Prasadam helped a lot. And the books. And the, yeah, right. If it weren't free, you wouldn't have come. What?
Sanity.
Okay. Yes, that it really makes a difference. The world just didn't make sense, before I met. When I was 10 years old, I was sitting in my classroom, and I already realized that I didn't belong here. And I was looking at the kids, and I was thinking, I don't know where I come from. Maybe I come from another country, or maybe I come from another planet. But one thing I know, I'm not American, I'm not from here. And I had that realization when I was 10. I came to India, it was a bit closer to home. A lot closer to home, Calcutta. It was very close. Okay, any other things you'd like to thank Prabhupada for? Books we got. Regulation. Yeah, most people don't want regulation in this world. It's the opposite. Well, Prabhupada gave us regulation, and that helps with sanity. That helps with real love, sadhu sangha, Krishna, Haribo. Last but not least.
that's included in the ISKCON now.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be specific. ISKCON includes everything, of course, but there are different things that we appreciate within ISKCON. Yes. What else? Yes. Refuge. Yes, from the mad world. Refuge. Yes? Deities. Haribo. Radhavallabha. Specifically Radhavallabha.
Not to be biased.
Oh, you made it. not to be biased. Radhisham Sundar too. Radhagovinda is writing. Radhagovinda from Calcutta. They were my first love. Well, Prabhupada had Radhagovinda in Calcutta too, so. Narayani. I am Narayani. Yeah. What?
You're telling.
Oh. Radhagovinda,
Can't we thank him for you, Ted?
He wants to put my name down there. Prabhupada's disciples, you can put
Association.
That's there, okay. And for his Prabhupada's disciples, you can put down then. Because if we weren't here, we wouldn't have any grandchildren here. Now we have great grandchildren, and the family goes on. Even after we leave, then the family will be there. The family will go on. Well, anything else? Ratha Yatra. Yes. How could we forget Ratha Yatra? Harinam? Okay. Anything else? Chanting and dancing. I think that sounds like Harinam to me. And engagement. Very good. Engagement in worship service. Showing by example. Acharya. He was Acharya. Showing by example.
Preaching.
Okay. So thank you very much. We'll go on. Now we need to start this. How do you go on here? Oh, wait, before you start. Now I'm going to show you a video. It's about 2 minutes long. It's Prabhupada, 1967, on Hippie Hill, San Francisco. Now you have a task to do while you're watching this video. You must watch Srila Prabhupada and notice what qualities he has in this video. I was not. I joined in Boston in 1970, and then I was sent to India in 72. So I've been in India. I've still in India since 72. Ever since we took a one-way ticket because Prabhupada told us to go, he didn't tell us to go back, so we never went back. We're still in India since 72. And we just took a one-way ticket, and that was it. We said, okay, he told us to go to India. So we went. That was it. Yeah. We never went back. Now I go back to preach. Now I go out. I leave Vrindavan now at the age of 60. But we want three. Yeah. Okay? Now, okay, so you just turn it on. I did move it ahead. I moved that little marker ahead. Let's see where it is. It should be on 39 minutes. Okay. Yeah, okay. So we'll move this little marker a little more. A few more. Yeah, you can turn it off. We don't need lights for this. Wait, I'll do it off. No, no. I'll do it. Okay, now, make it go. Oh, yeah, I know, you messed up the time. So just move around and see where we are. I can't tell the time. Okay. Yeah, okay, figure out the volume. Can you do the microphone on the volume?
To take you off as we turn. I started chanting.
Oh, this is great.
Why? I was thinking LSD. Fine. But he was against LSD. He said, I told him, what do you think of my taking LSD for my spiritual realization, expanded consciousness? I was interested in staying high forever, as it were. Maintaining awareness of the universe that's flowing through me, asking me every second of my life. He says, oh, he said, that's not necessary. He said, your spiritual life is already here. You don't need to say anything to your spiritual life. And I knew he was right. And he had that involvement state of consciousness, I sensed it. And I knew he didn't say anything. And I knew that I owned this state of consciousness. And he could keep me in this.
There's Prabhupada.
Okay, so what quality did you see of Srila Prabhupada? There. So many qualities. Huh? Just in that 2 minutes of his life. Who can tell me one quality you saw of Srila Prabhupada there? Gravity. Okay, gravity. Energetic. Raise your hand. Purity. What else? Yes. Sincerity. Blissful. He was grave at the same time he was happy. So this is an amazing contradiction. Grave and happy. He was blissful. Yeah?
Compassion.
Compassion.
Complete absorption.
Complete absorption. Yeah, what else? What other qualities?
Gentle.
Gentle.
Fatherly.
Fatherly. Yeah. He was very fatherly there. Patience. Huh? Accepting. Patience. I also saw that how detached he was. He had such equilibrium in the midst of all the confusion. He was making order out of chaos. You know, it was like a very chaotic situation. All these people were probably high, most of them, on drugs. And he was getting them to chant and dance in the holy name. He was like bringing them together, somehow making sense in their lives. Do you see what Prabhupada was in? I mean, you Indian people, you can imagine the scene. Could you imagine just going there and preaching to these people? These crazy hippies who are all on drugs. And he's an elderly gentleman. He's over 70. He's 70 and he's in this situation. Like, and he does. It looks like if you look there, you say, well, who doesn't belong there really in that scene? And like, how does he? He doesn't belong there, you know, but somehow he went there in that very degraded place. Any other qualities?
Determination.
Yeah. Anything else?
Faith.
So we can see the sacrifice. I should have this microphone. Yeah. Bring the microphone back. The voice is giving up. Okay, we don't need it on here anymore.
So you can see the. No. We can see the amazing determination, faith, conviction, patience, tolerance, detachment. He had one girl just dancing with him, and he's a sannyasi. You know, it's unheard of. I mean, if they could see him, if the bridge buses could see him over there, what would they think? What would they think about him? And it's amazing because before he went, he got some free advice from one of his godbrothers. They said, if you go to America, you have to learn how to eat with a fork and spoon. And you have to dress in pants and shirt. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to go there to learn their ways. I'm going to teach them my ways. I will teach them how to eat with their fingers. And he did. He did that. So he changed us, not that we changed him. He didn't compromise his ways. But he made us change to his ways. He was so powerful that he got us, I mean, he made us just, not. We didn't have saris and dhotis in those days. We had sheets. So we were wearing sheets, yellow sheets for grihastas and orange sheets for brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. In those days, he made us wear sheets. He made us do so many things, sleep on the floor. I slept on the floor for 18 years on a straw mat in India, on the floor. And so many things we did that we would never do. You know, we would think this is insane. If you started to think about what we did, you know, it's mind-boggling. But we could only do it because of, we had faith in his order. That he said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So we just had faith. If Prabhupada told us to do it, then we just could do it. It's not a problem. And we did it. And so we had faith in Srila Prabhupada. I think, yes, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he was under anesthesia, he had a dream. He was having an operation. He had a dream of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was going to the previous, this is when Prabhupada was present, and Prabhupada was going to report to the previous acharyas, and he was saying, these people here, they have no qualities. They have nothing. They can't follow any rules. He said, they only have one thing. They believe in me, and they can follow me. So that was his report. About us. So, yes, we did have that faith, and that's why we took a one-way ticket to India and didn't go back, because he said go, and we went.
So this is what we did for Srila Prabhupada. At least we followed him. No matter who we were kind of misfits, perhaps, in our own right. But one thing we did do is we have faith in Prabhupada and his instructions. So now for our last thing, I would like to share with you one beautiful poem. Ah. It's a book here written by one of my friends. So there aren't enough to go around, so you'll just have to be merciful and share. But we will have a PowerPoint on the same book. So everybody will be able to see what's going on. We'll have a PowerPoint so everybody can see. It was written by one of my friends, that's the book, but this PowerPoint was made by another person. So is this going to go by itself, or do I need to do something? This one? Okay, great. All right. So does anybody know who these deities are? I don't know them. But they're here. They're probably from Malaysia, because the person who... Radharasvihar Bombay. Where Prabhupada asked them to please stay and I will make a very beautiful temple for you. I arrived in Bombay in 1972 and the deities were staying in a tent. Harikesh put his raincoat over them so they wouldn't get wet. And we were living very austerely. The brahmacharis, the men were in one hut and the ladies were on top of a building. That was the ladies' ashram on the roof. And if we were there, it was summer, it was May. So it was quite austere. Yeah. Okay, this is New Mayapur, is it? Looks like New Mayapur. Radhishan, Vrindavan. Radhishan. You think it's Radha Balava? New Vrindavan, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. No, Garni Chai. And Vrindavan. Archar, okay. So the book is very beautiful, Realizations of Relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So this is where this little book starts that I gave you. It starts here. O Prabhupada, O moon amongst devotees and touchstone of preachers, chanting Krishna's name with a voice intense with emotion, you capture the hearts and minds of the people of this world. Please capture my heart, a stubborn and stray animal, and make it your own. O Prabhupada, O selfless and magnanimous maintainer of your devotees, raising your arms and dancing in ecstasy, you gave new life to a world drugged by the vices of Kali. Please appear in my heart, dance up a storm, and blind me to everything but you and the world of your Radhe Shyam. O Prabhupada, the soft light from your lamp of affection illuminates my heart and step by step makes clear the path through the dangerous darkness of Kali's reign. May my mind and heart be forever fixed on that lamp in gratitude, for it is my solace and safety in this mad, dark world of names. O Prabhupada, your lotus lips continuously shower forth the sweetest nectar in the form of Krishna's name and fame. So unassumingly,
You gave us so much, so easily. Let me never treat your gifts cheaply. Rather, like a miser counting and admiring his coins, let me become increasingly attracted and attached to the treasures you have given us. O Prabhupada, although I have not even a sesame seed of pure devotion for you and your Shah, you can make the impossible possible. Kindly take up residence in my heart and also give me residence in yours. Then I will surely come to understand what it means to truly love Krishna. O Prabhupada, when will you rescue this unfortunate person drowning in an ocean of self-inflicted pain? When, even in a dream, will my head be decorated with the dust of your lotus feet and my face blossom into a smile from the soothing rays of your loving glance? O Prabhupada, real love flourishes in the fire of separation. Now is the time to prove my real love for you. Let me not trust my mind and senses and their accomplices who say, which tell me that you're gone. If I truly love you, I will surely find you in the faces of your sincere devotees, in the pages of your books, in the struggle to become Krishna conscious and serve you. Now, this is a Mangal Arati meditation unto the lotus feet of Prabhupada in Vrindavan. All these pictures are from Vrindavan, Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Here's Prabhupada in front of the temple. Was different before we had the samadhi. It's quite, it is different now also since the gate is demolished. O Prabhupada, when will I confidently sound the conch, announcing the victory of your teachings and devotional process over my unruly mind and senses? O Prabhupada, when will I offer you a mind strongly but sweetly fragranced with the incense scent of non-enviousness and true equanimity? O Prabhupada, when will I offer you the lamp of my heart, ablaze with the desire to serve your desires as my own? O Prabhupada, when will I offer you honest tears of repentance for the many times I have abused your gracious and practical magnanimity? O Prabhupada, when will I take the well-kept cloth of my false pride and help clean the weeping sores presently paining your beloved ISKCON? This is written by Srimati Mataji, who lives in Vrindavan. O Prabhupada, when will I stop worshipping you with flowers offered without devotion and sincerely offer the lotus of my heart to your divine lotus feet? O Prabhupada, when will I take the chamara of unmotivated discrimination and whisk aside the self-imposed obstacles obstructing my wholehearted service to you? O Prabhupada, when will I fan you with enthusiastic plans for nourishing and expanding your mission, plans based on simple purity and compassion? O Prabhupada, when will I sound the conch to announce that the final battle has been won, that my mind and heart have taken full and permanent shelter at your divinely soft lotus feet? O Prabhupada, when, oh when, will that day be come? Right. So this is from this book. This was all made from the book that I just gave you. And the PowerPoint was made by a devotee named Tyaga Chaitanya in Malaysia. And
and it was for the, I think it was an offering for the centennial, perhaps. Oblized to Srila Prabhupada, who came with a message of the absolute world, which enables us to appreciate the unlimited glories of the Supreme Lord. Let us follow in his footsteps. In the process of presenting this workshop, if we have knowingly or unknowingly offended anyone of you, then we humbly beg for your forgiveness and ask you to bless us so that we can make some spiritual progress. Hare Krishna. Dasana Das Chaga Chaitanya Das Srimati Devadasa. Okay. So, this is the end of what I'd like to say today. If you have any questions or comments, and I can also tell a little bit more about my experiences. I did have a few personal experiences with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta and Mayapur. So any questions about anything? Okay, so I'll tell you another story. This is a very similar story to my first one. Prabhupada said something to me personally, which I couldn't understand at the time, and which happened again. It came true 30 years later. And this one was in Mayapur. First one was in Vrindavan. In Mayapur, 1973, I was in Calcutta. I was the pujari. I was one of the pujaris at that time. And Srila Prabhupada came to Calcutta. And Pradyumna, who was his panditji, his secretary, came to me. And he said, he knew I knew how to type. So he said to me, how would you like to come with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur? We're typing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I said, yes. He said, all you have to do is learn Bengali. We're leaving tomorrow. So I said, okay, no problem. I had to learn to read Bengali because I had to transliterate it. Just like when he knew me, because when I first joined, the first day I walked in the temple, he said, you have to learn Sanskrit so you can transliterate Bhagavad Gita. I had to type the Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. We had to translate it as we went. So I learned Sanskrit. He gave me Isha Upanishad. See in the back, you just learn the letters, and then tomorrow you have to, today you start typing. He said, okay. So I learned Sanskrit in one day there, so he figured I could learn Bengali as well. So he gave me a Bengali book. I learned, and I was off with Prabhupada the next day to type Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we were living in the Lotus building, which was not Lotus at that point. It was under construction. And it was, there were nice bathrooms with, you know, what do you call them, the faucet or the tap, but there was no water there in the tap. And there were windows, but there was no glass. It was just a hole in the wall. And I was living in one room. In my room, there was no door. So we had to go through the next room to get to the door, but in the next room, there was no floor. So we had to walk across a plank to the door, across the whole room, to get to the door. It was like 3 or 4 feet drop. So this is how we were living, and it was quite interesting. I was typing there. We had a typewriter. It was very ancient. I mean, you would call it a historical object nowadays. It was a manual. And not only was it a manual, you had to, you know, you type, and then every at the end of every line, you have to go hit it to go back, you know, not like computers. This was the ancient age before computers arrived. And so therefore I was typing on this thing, ancient, and I was sitting on the floor because we had no chairs. And I think probably a trunk or something, just like Prabhupada was typing on his trunk, so I was typing on a trunk probably. And so I had the earphones on. I was listening to Prabhupada speak. I had this huge Bengali called Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was open. And so I would hear Prabhupada say the Bengali. I would read it, and then I would type it in English, like transliterate it. So I would hear him speak the Bengali, and then I would have to type it in English. And at that time, like in 1 or 2 months, we did the whole Namadweep Leela, chapter 13 to 17, we did in 1 or 2 months. That he did a lot. We did a lot. So one time Prabhupada, he saw me, he was walking, he used to have a habit of walking up and down the veranda, and so he was looking in my window to see what I was doing. And so he saw me with this huge Bengali book, and I was, you know, typing away. He said to me, you know Bengali? I said, Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Though I just learned to read the day before. And I just wanted to make him happy. So then he said, okay, come to my room. Uh-oh. He's going to talk to me in Bengal. But I learned a few words by that time. Because our servants in Calcutta, they only spoke Bengali, so then we learned. Because we were cooking on these huge coal fires, and so we had to talk to the servants to make the fire, and sometimes I had to make the fire too. But so he called me in his room, and he said to me, now you must learn to type in Bengali, and then we will do many books together. So I had visions, oh, I'm going to travel with Srila Prabhupada and all over the world, and it never happened. Because what happened was, when I was in Mayapur, the news came in Calcutta that Garga Muni was going to come and be temple president. So all the pujaris left, and I had to go back and be the head pujari in Calcutta, because they were all afraid of Garga Muni. That's how, by default, I became head pujari in Calcutta. So I couldn't travel with Prabhupada. But anyway, what happened was, 30 years later, I started writing books. Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was my inspiration. I've written 3 books now already. Shiva Bhagavatam at a Glance, a poetry book, Garden of Devotion. And then one book was Srila Prabhupada Desired a Picture for Every Verse of Bhagavad Gita. So that book I've done. It's now it just came out in Calcutta. So it should be, Isha has printed and he'll distribute that book. So those words came true as well, that writing books, I ended up writing books and speaking Bhagavatam, which I never planned in my life. I said, okay, someday I'm going to write books and I'm going to travel. I thought, I was horrified. When 1994, I got the realization, a revelation from chanting japa, that I'm meant to travel and preach and speak and give class. And I thought, oh my God, I never gave a class in my life. How am I going to give class? So it took me a while to get over the shock. And then I just started in my room in Vrindavan. I was in Vrindavan. And because I had the order from Prabhupada, and also another story is there, I can tell you, that how I experienced Prabhupada's presence even after his departure in 1994, I was searching for Prabhupada, because I wanted to confirm what I had gotten in my japa. I got the realization, I have to travel, I have to preach, I have to speak Bhagavatam, I have to teach. So I wanted some confirmation of that from Srila Prabhupada. So I walked into the samadhi, and I had been searching, where can I find Prabhupada? I walked into the samadhi, and there was a tape of Prabhupada playing. And Prabhupada said on the tape, do you think the deity is made of stone? I looked at Prabhupada and said, no, you're not made of stone. Then he said, do you think the acharyas are so foolish they're worshipping stone? No, you're really here, I believe it. So then I thought, well, I need some more personal instruction. I said, maybe if I go to his house, I'll find a letter. I went to Prabhupada's house, and there was the letter. And it was, and it said, and it spoke to me, and it said, now you are one of my senior disciples, so I'm depending on you to carry on this movement. Now whatever you have learned the art of Krishna consciousness, so now you should teach it purely for others to understand. So I took that, yes, I must teach. I must teach now. So I started teaching in 1994. That time, the VIHE was men only. There was men only Bhakti Shastri. You couldn't attend. The women couldn't attend the Bhakti Shastri classes. So I just started teaching in my own room. I had a room outside somewhere. I started teaching Bhagavad Gita. So for 3 years, I was teaching just outside in my room. Because I said, well, I have to start. You can't speak in the temple. I can't teach in VIHE. So I just started. I said, oh, Prabhupada wants me to do this, so I just did it. And after 3 years, they asked me to start teaching VIHE in Bhakti Shastri. But you just, you know, there's nothing can stop you if you have a service to do. You cannot say there's no facility. Facility, you have to make the facility. If you want facility, then you have to make it. That's what I learned. So I had no facility to speak, but I just made it, and people started coming, and I started speaking, and it happened, and now I started teaching Bhakti Shastri in 1997, women's Bhakti Shastri, and then the next year the men's teacher didn't show up, so I had to teach the men's Bhakti Shastri. And then the next year I was started traveling all over Europe and teaching. The second year I started traveling. Then I stopped traveling for 10 years to study Bhagavatam and teach
Bhaktivedanta, Bhaktivedanta. So now the Bhaktivedanta is almost finished, so he started traveling again and teaching. And it all started back then. But you can have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada even now. You go, you can talk, you can pray to the murti of Srila Prabhupada. You can see in his books and his devotees. Oh, and deity worship. Okay, I'll tell a few things. Because I was pujari and Prabhupada told us a few things. Sometimes he would chastise us, and sometimes he would praise us. Because in India, the management was nobody could manage. It was very difficult to manage. One time the GBC quit, all the GBCs quit, and Prabhupada was our GBC for 2 months. It was really nice. And sometimes he was the temple president, the temple commander. Like one time he came and he said, he looked at the ghee lamp. We had these huge ghee lamps because there was no electricity much in Calcutta, so we had to use candles and ghee lamps. So he said, "Why is this ghee lamp dirty? Who has done this?" I was thinking he should have said, "Who has not done this?" But anyway, when he would get you on the spot, you just couldn't. You wanted to disappear, but you just couldn't. So you're just like shaking and hoping he'll be merciful and let us just clean the ghee lamp. And other times he would praise us. Often he would praise us because in Calcutta we had an opulence of flowers. Every day I would get 50 garlands. Someone would donate for Radha Govinda and Jagannath. So I would change the flowers 5 times a day in Calcutta. And it was beautiful, beautiful. We got 4 kinds of champa, we got gardenia, and we got a dozen lotuses every day, 144 lotuses, 144 roses, all and mogra and jasmine and anything you can think of. You walk in there, you just smell like all these heavenly flowers. So Prabhupada really appreciated that. He said the flowers are the smile of Krishna. And one time it was like that. I was dressing the deities and people just kept bringing more and more garlands and I was putting them everywhere, and finally we opened the doors and Prabhupada came for darshan, and then he sat on the Vyasasana and he was surrounded by maybe 10 sannyasis. I think they were on their way to Mayapur. So he called us up, my husband and I. My husband was also in the pujari department, and he said, "Thank you very much." And at that time, then when we offered obeisances, one of the sannyasis, it was Guru Kripa, he said, "Did you hear what Prabhupada said when you offered obeisances?" I said, "No, what did he say?" He said, "Be blessed." So, but then we were blessed for one day, so the next day you have to earn it again. I realized it's not like, now you just go and, meditate the rest of your life. No, you have to keep going. And now I'm doing another, and now I'm running all over the world, just trying to spread the glories of Srila Prabhupada and his books. And so it's not like we stop. 7 years, actually, I'll tell you my initiation letter. He gave me 6 instructions. And that was chant at least 16 rounds, follow strictly the 4 regular principles. And 5 I could do so far, and 1 I couldn't do yet. And then he said, read and study all the books, preach, go on Sankirtan and preach, and do deity worship. So for 7 years I was pujari, and still I have deities. They always are with me. I mean, I have Radha Govinda in Vrindavan, and now I have Giri Raj. And then he said, do deity worship, read and study all the books. And from the beginning, I was begging, as I said yesterday. There were no books in India, no books. I was begging devotees for their books as they came from the festival, for the festival in Mayapur. That's how I got my full set of Bhagavatams and CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, just begging, please give me a book, please give me your book. We don't get them in India. So I got full sets like that. And then I was always reading the books. I read them 10, 12 times. I don't know how many times. But I'm memorizing chapters somehow. And so the books. Oh, I forgot my train. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and then I was doing book distribution in India for 7 years, traveling book distribution, the Gujarat, Maharashtra. And then after that, I was 7 years a mother. I took care of, I had a child when I was 39. And then after that, he went to Gurukul. And then since 1997, I'm teaching. So that's about 13 years that I'm doing the studying the books, reading, studying all the books. So all of the 3 instructions were 3 parts of my life. Well, now I think this is the the rest of my life I'm just going to do this. But then the last instruction was 24 hours be engaged, so that is yet to come. That's yet to come. Let's see.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, I dream at night about the devotees. I don't dream about Prabhupada. I'm always with devotees. Actually, I'm very active at night. Sometimes people cite me. They see me sometimes doing things with them. I don't know. I don't remember anything, but I remember my dreams that I'm always with 100 or 200, 300 devotees doing something. And some, like, sleeping on the floor again in Ladies' Ashram. Yeah.
Now you're blessing us, sure.
Yes. Yes.
The Australian devotees went to India and Ireland.
Yeah, in Calcutta, you landed.
We landed in Madras, and we stayed overnight in Mahabalipuram to get rid of our jet lag, and then we flew to Calcutta. So our first experience of ISKCON in India was evening time, and it was evening arti.
Calcutta. I was doing the arti. I was doing four artis.
We walked in the temple room, and the aroma, as you said, the garland was unbelievable.
I remember there was one celebration. The first jumbo jet to land in Calcutta was full, the whole devotees. The whole jet was devotees. And was it your jet? Or? Oh, it was 75. I remember there was one, and they all stayed in the temple overnight. And you know, we don't have. It was just. It's the same. It's just a little flat. And the ladies' ashram at that point was up on the roof. And there was a room there, but, you know, for like 5-6 people, and the rest had to go on the roof and down the stairs. I remember there were devotees on every step. It's a whole jumbo jet, you know. In our temple, there was no water, but we did have a lake across the street where everybody could bathe. I remember it. And so I was there, in 70. You were in 74. I thought it was in 74 that we had all the devotees down the steps and everywhere. Yeah, I don't know. How many devotees came with you? Then it was. There was one whole jumbo jet that came and landed. First one in Calcutta. That was later, huh? I thought it was 74. Calatelia? I don't remember where it was from.
I just remember, I think it was 1975 when Paul was going to India on the jumbo jet. And I remember you being in the field there. Not 75. I'd say 74 or 75.
I think it must have been 74. Well, you said it was only a dozen. But we did have a whole bunch of devotees land in Calcutta, which wasn't a... There was no place, but, you know, babies, and it was such a scene. Like a refugee camp or something, you know. Which it was. And the problem, the poor ladies upstairs, we had these huge rats, you know. And some of them had never seen a rat in their lives. There was a lot of screaming. And but they were our friends, you know. They were really sizable rats. And the cat, no, we didn't have, the cats were in terror. Rats were like terrorists. But for us, they were okay. They were okay. I got bit only once while I was sleeping. But he did good service because I had all this dead skin in my toe. And he ate most of it and then he bit through, you know, and then I woke up. Yeah, I didn't get any shots or anything. I figured he ate enough prasadam to make it okay. But yeah, we had a lot of experiences here. And we did have bumblebees. We had bees coming into our deities. We had an open window in the back. And so we had these bumblebees coming in on Radhishyam's side. And they would fly around Radharani's feet and then land. And we had these huge lotuses, so they would just land in the lotuses. One time, often I would walk into the deity room and there would be a bee flying out from the lotus and Krishna's flute. And the bees, when we would have Bhagavatam class, they would circumambulate. Sometimes birds would, because we had this high ceiling, birds would circumambulate during Bhagavatam, or bees. And then on Jagannath's side, we had tiny little bees.
and they would land on the garlands. And so I was reading third canto, and it said how the bees are on the garlands. And I said, wow, it's just like Vaikuntha here. The bees are on the garlands. And so they were coming in. They were all. And Prabhupada said, if the bees are coming, then Krishna is pleased with your worship. And so we have bees every day coming to our Aziz Radha Govinda. Yeah, anyway. No water, no electricity. One time I caught on fire in the deity room because it's all candles. But the doors were closed, so I just took off my sari in 2 seconds. Because I was always very fast anyway, so. I won't go into that. We had to share the bathroom, sannyasis, brahmacharis, ladies, everybody in one bathroom. So. Not together, but separately. I was very fast. You had to be fast. And you had to conserve. For a bath without soap, one loja. With soap, two lojas. One for getting wet, one for washing it off. No, yeah, we did, yeah. We were purchasing, yeah. But we were also making. At some point, we had very good sandwich makers. But then, before that, I think we were purchasing sweets. Because Prabhupada said those sweet shops were really good. We were purchasing at one point, yeah. And then we got some really good sweet makers. Really good. Gangaram.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Sweets, yeah. Prabhupada liked those sweets from those sweet shops in Calcutta. Okay. Any questions? All right, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. And tomorrow we're meeting at 10 o'clock in the temple. We're going to do a lot of... you can bring your japa beads, bring a gift for the deities, because we're going to be trying to deepen our relationship with the deities. And we'll be doing some exercises. We'll be doing a lot of personal prayers to the deities. So just bring your japa beads will be needed, and a present for the deities. Can be anything, fruit, flower, leaf, or water, or whatever you can think of. So 10 o'clock in the temple, and then tomorrow night we'll meet again, and we'll discuss entering Vrindavan Dham.
Do we handle these
back? No, they're for you. Everything's for you. You can keep it. Yeah. So thank you. Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, now we have to disconnect.